Good morning, Ebenezer. What a beautiful day that we have to celebrate. Welcome to Women's Day 2026. This is a marvelous occasion, and I'm glad to see so many people here. It is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, and I got to tell you, the house of the Lord looks a little different right here as I'm standing here, right? It looks a little bit different. So giving all praise and honor to our God, our most holy one. In addition to sending praise to our most holy one, I want to give a couple of thanks as well. Thank you to my sister Tristan for that wonderful introduction. I never thought that I'd be honored in such a way to have you introduce me on such an occasion, and my heart is warmed. Thank you so much for that. I want to say thank you to Pastor Robertson. I appreciate to be able to stand here where you proclaim the goodness of God every Sunday. I thank you for that opportunity. I thank you for the way that you have promoted Women's Day. And even as I looked in the bulletin, I see your encouragement in there. So thank you for that as well. I thank the 82nd Women's Day Committee. I appreciate your confidence in me and your trust in me. And as I was sitting in the planning meetings, I appreciate the clarity, too, that y'all provided. Because y'all mentioned that today is not just Women's Day, or not Women's Day, it's Women's Day, right? So we celebrate the collective input and the contributions that the collective body of women has. But what now we want to honor is that individual calling that the Lord has put in each and every one of us. Because not only does God call us collectively, he calls us personally, individually, and intentionally for his purpose. I also want to thank my family. If you would ask anybody, they'd say there's about a million of us. And I see some of y'all snuck in today without me knowing, so I appreciate you. I thank you. I see my mom and dad, Theodore Ringer and Helen Ringer. My heart's so warm to see you today. I appreciate all your support, those of you, family and friends who are here in person and those who are online as well. And last but not least, I thank the Team West machine. Team West, my husband, William. Our sons, Clay, Toby, and Griffin. As you can imagine, we have you can clap for them, yes. We have a very active, busy family. As a matter of fact, we got kids all over the state of Texas right now, even as I speak. But even in the busy season, I appreciate the patience that my family has provided and the support that they've provided by allowing me to really sit with this message, be still, be quiet, and let God's word truly reflect in what I want to communicate today. I realize as I stand here, there's a certain connection. There's a certain Christian kinship that comes from standing in this pulpit. I recognize that. And this morning, I'm especially thinking about the woman who stood here last year as your 81st Women's Day speaker, Sister Raisha Jones. I send my prayers to you and your family. I don't know if you're here today, but I think about you. We send comfort to you and your family because Sister Jones, she was an amazing woman. Sister Robbie Jones, your mother was an amazing woman. And if you think about it, yes. And in so many ways, her life reminds us of the very heart of the message that we have here today. Women of faith who live intentionally for God's calling. As I reflected on this theme, I found myself thinking about the relationship between faith, intentionality, and the lives that we live. And from that reflection, I want to bring and share a message called Faith Intentions. You see, often we judge people by their actions and not their intentions. And we also find ourselves being judged the same way. But you see, the truth is that our intentions, they don't always stay hidden. For eventually, our intentions become our actions, and our actions become our works. So in many ways, what we consistently do reflects what we consistently intended. When I prayed over this theme, one question came to mind. What gives a woman, a man, a child, anybody, the strength to live intentionally for God's calling? Because as you know, and I know, living intentionally is not always easy, right? It requires faith during uncertainty, obedience during discomfort, and trust during seasons that we don't fully understand. Now, if you look at your Bible, there's many questions or answers to this question, but what we're going to do today is focus on the answer that's provided in our scripture reference. If you have your Bibles, come with me, for there's a word to be heard in the 46th Psalm, chapter 5. The word states, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. As I stand here in this pulpit, leaning into what God has called me to do today, I want to make the scripture a little bit more personal. I want to say God is within Tamara. Tamara will not fall. God will help Tamara at break of day. But even as I say that, I realize I can make it a little bit more personal. God is within me. I will not fall. God will help me at break of day. As I prepared this message, I realized something. When a woman truly knows God is within her, she can say yes to standing in places she never imagined standing. She can walk into assignments she never expected to receive, and she can live intentionally for God's calling throughout her faith journey. And with this in mind, I want to talk about three types of women that we become during our faith journey. The first woman is the unintentional woman. This is the woman who misses the opportunity to live for God's calling. The next woman is the unintentionally intentional woman. Now, if you remember, that's almost as hard as saying sesquicentennial last year, right? Right? So I'm going to repeat it. The unintentionally intentional woman. This is the woman who meets the opportunity to live for God's calling. And next we have the intentional woman. This is the woman who makes the opportunity to live for God's calling. Misses, meets, and makes. And somewhere between all of these women, we find ourselves. But let me be clear, because I want to make sure that everybody knows that these are not permanent identities. We can find ourselves being each of these women during different seasons, moments, and stages of our life. Because a woman who once missed opportunities can grow into a woman who recognizes them. And a woman who once responded when faith called her or found her can grow into a woman who is intentionally pursuing God's calling for her. And now our walk with God is not meant to be stagnant. It's meant to transform us. And today is not about labeling anybody, because I know in society that happens enough, right? But today is about being honest and recognizing where we are while allowing God to continue to growing us into the person that he has called us to be. So let's first talk about the unintentional woman. The first woman that we encounter in our faith journey is the unintentional woman. This is the woman, if you remember, who misses those opportunities to walk in God's calling. Not necessarily because she was rebellious. But somewhere along the way, her faith shifts target, maybe because it's distraction, disappointment, disbelief, or any other reason, right? The unintentional woman, she loves God. She believes in God. But when those opportunities come to really trust him and follow him boldly and proclaim who he is with intention, she hesitates, she delays, she doubts, and she avoids. We see this woman in at least two examples that I'm going to share with you today. Both reveal how easy it is to lose intentionality in our faith journey when our focus shifts away from God's voice and away from God's direction. So let's take our first example, Eve. Her story is found in Genesis chapter 3. Eve represents what happens when we get distracted and stop being intentional in our faith. We're all familiar with their story. Adam and Eve are living in the Garden of Eden. They have everything that they could possibly ask for. They have access. They have provision. They have peace. But most importantly, they have God's instruction. And one of those directions that God gave them was, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. But then another voice comes, the serpent. Adam and Eve, they're tempted by the serpent who asked them, has God indeed said you should not eat of every tree in the garden? And we all know what happens next. Even though Eve had clear instruction from God, she engaged with the serpent, she questioned truth, and she acted out of disobedience. Thus, Eve became the unintentional woman. When she became distracted by the voice that caused her to lose sight of God's voice. Many times we miss God's calling by listening to the wrong voice for too long. And I am struck by how quickly distraction turns into disobedience. One conversation, one hesitation, one entertained doubt, just that easy. And then you realize the enemy doesn't need to destroy your faith. Sometimes he only needs to distract your focus. Another example of the unintentional woman is Sarah. Sarah's struggle wasn't disobedience. Her struggle was disbelief. You see, God had promised Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a son. But months passed, then years passed, then decades passed. That's a long time to be waiting for a promise, right? And by the time God finally spoke again, Sarah had grown old waiting for that promise to materialize. The Bible says when Sarah overheard that she would finally have a son, she laughed. And not because that message was funny, but because after waiting so long, the promise didn't feel like it was real. It didn't feel like something that she could attain or achieve. By this time, I can imagine that Sarah had learned to kind of cover her heart a little bit and hide that disappointment through skepticism. Does that sound familiar to everybody in this congregation? At some point, when disappointment sets in, it makes us emotionally retreat. And if we're honest, prolonged waiting can produce passive faith. And delayed prayers can make us emotionally retreat from our faith. But there is hope, I say. There is hope indeed. Thanks be to God, even in our distraction and in our disbelief, that God remains intentional towards us. Because sometimes, before we even intentionally move towards God's calling, he is intentionally moving toward us. So now let's talk about the unintentionally intentional woman. This woman is not actively searching for a platform. She's not actively looking for an assignment or a spotlight. She's simply living her normal life, doing what she normally does. But when an opportunity comes to share her faith, she takes hold of it. She grasps it. And she responds with intention. We see this play out in the Samaritan woman. In John 4, the Samaritan woman went to the well expecting an ordinary day, drawing water like she always did, day in and day out. And while she's at the well, she encounters Jesus who says, give me a drink. Now, during that time, the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't engage with one another. And yet, Jesus intentionally draws the Samaritan woman into a conversation. The Samaritan woman could have turned away from the conversation. She could have kept the conversation surface level, but instead she leaned in. And as the conversation continued, Jesus began speaking to her about the living water. We know about that living water, don't we? A relationship with him that refreshes the soul, restores the heart, and fills those empty places within inside of us. So the Samaritan woman came to the well searching for ordinary water, but she left carrying the living water. And what makes this story so powerful is what she does after that encounter. This woman who quietly went to the well left boldly proclaiming about all the things that Jesus did for her. The Bible says she went back into the city, beckoning to anybody who would hear her, come, see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? On April 26th, the choir sang about this Samaritan woman called Come See a Man. Before we began singing, Brother Walter Sanders set the stage by what I could only call a mini sermon. and he told us about the backstory of this woman. I encourage you to go back to Ebenezer's YouTube and listen to his words, listen to the choir sing, even though they've done a marvelous job today. Thank you, choir. Now, come see a man. Now, I have been singing this song all day, every day around the house. So much so that I'm thinking my kids are saying, Mom, aren't you in the choir? Don't you go to rehearsal every day? Hasn't Mr. Moshe taught you any other song to sing? But I don't know. I'm not fooled, because when I'm not singing, I hear them singing. So I think it's permeating through them or to them. So over the past few weeks, I've really been trying to reflect why this song resonated with me so much. And what I realized is that my song is very similar to the Samaritan woman song. Okay, so listen for a moment. The first verse of the Samaritan woman song goes like this. I was at the well one day. I'll never forget it. Searching for a better way. I didn't even know it. Jesus was right there, waiting on me. I didn't know my whole life he could already see. Now keep that in mind as you compare that to my song, the first verse of my song. I was on the couch one day. I'll never forget it. Watching the playoffs for the NBA. I didn't even know it that I'd be asked to speak at Women's Day. Now, the settings might have been different, and the moments might have been different, but both of these verses really tell us what happened when God turns ordinary moments into faith opportunities. Because I would admit, Ebenezer, me standing here today is perhaps a little unintentionally intentional, right? Because this is where I find myself in the message. A woman being faithful where she was. You see, I thought Women's Day 2026 was going to look like Women's Day 2025. It was going to look like Women's Day 2024 and Women's Day 2023 and so forth and so on. With me singing in this lovely choir, serving on committees, and supporting behind the scenes, those things looked familiar to me. But then God shifted something, and I got a call from the chair of the Women's Day committee, who presented me with this unexpected opportunity. Y'all know all about that call from the program committee, right? I was not searching for this moment, but once the opportunity found me, I decided how I would respond. I said to myself that I would be intentional with what God has called me to do. And now I rejoice in the knowledge that something that started unintentional is intentional. Not only for me, but for that Samaritan woman as well. So much so that if you hear the Samaritan woman and you can hear me as well, and we're singing in harmony, the same chorus to the same song. And that song goes a little bit like this. Come see a man at the meeting place. Come see a man, although I've never seen his face. Come see a man who told me everything about me. He told me I was healed. He told me I was free. He gave me victory. Come see a man. And maybe some of the women here, maybe somebody, anybody here, is standing in the same place. You're not necessarily searching for that bigger assignment. But you're standing in front of an unexpected opportunity, and God is asking, will you trust in me? Will you believe in me? And I pray that you will say yes. The last woman that we're going to talk about is the intentional woman. There's a different level that goes beyond responding when God interrupts your life. There is this woman who is already positioned for the interruption before it ever occurs. Not just responding to those moments, but living ready for them. This brings me again to the intentional woman. She does not wait for purpose to find her. She lives ready. She recognizes her life. She organizes her life around obedience. She wakes up expecting God to use her, and she's actively pursuing God's calling. She does not merely hope God is going to pick her someday but she prepares herself daily to be used by God. She is looking for those faith opportunities actively. This intentional woman is already living ready. She's already surrendered to God's calling before the assignment ever arrives, because intentional women submit both to God and stand boldly in what he has called them to do. So let's look at Mary. When we look at Mary, we don't simply see a woman surprised by her assignment, right? She is a woman who is spiritually prepared to surrender to one. In Luke chapter 1, the angel appears to Mary, a young woman who has never known a man, and tells her that she is going to carry the Son of God. Now, let's be clear. This is not convenient. This came with risk. This came with uncertainty. This came with misunderstanding. And it also came with potential shame. And Mary, she did not have all the details. She was not given a full explanation of what this would look like. Yet Mary's response is probably one of the most powerful responses that we can find in all of Scripture, when she says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." That is not hesitation. That is not confusion. That is intentional surrender. Mary did not wait for everything to make sense before she said yes to God. She said yes while there was a lot of uncertainty. That is an intentional woman, a woman who has already decided that God's calling is going to be greater than her uncertainty. And my last example that I'll share is Deborah. When we see Deborah, she is a woman who demonstrates intentional leadership, because God sometimes calls us about not only where he's trying to take you, but also he's calling you about where he wants you to lead others. Deborah's story is found in Judges chapter 4 and 5. Deborah is both a judge, she's a prophetess, a woman trusted to lead, discern, and communicate the message of God. At the time that Deborah appears in Scripture, the children of Israel have once again fallen into their cycle of doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And as a result, they lived in oppression for 20 years under Jabin, the king of Canaan, and Sisera, the commander of his army. But Deborah, she understood her calling, which was to help God's people and deliver them. The Bible says that Deborah sat under a palm tree, and the children of Israel come to her for judgment. Think about that. People came looking for her because they trusted the wisdom, the stability, and the authority that God had placed in her. One day, Deborah sent for Barak and instructed him to gather 10,000 men and go battle against Sisera's army. But Barak hesitated. He replied, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And that response there says a lot and says something very powerful about Deborah. Her presence gave others confidence to follow their calling as well. So Deborah agrees to go. Deborah did not hesitate. She did not second guess her decision. She moved with confidence because she had already built a life of obedience before the crisis ever arrived. Deborah was not waiting for permission to follow her calling. She was already ready for it. Deborah teaches us that intentional living produces stability. So when God and his leadership demand something of you, you're not scrambling to become what God has already called you to be. You're already there. So I mentioned the title, Faith Intentions. This title has led us to really kind of reflect on what it truly means to be of faith and live intentionally. We have talked about three different women. We talked about the unintentional woman who misses the opportunity to live for God's calling. We talked about the unintentionally intentional woman who meets the opportunity to live for God's calling. And we also talked about the intentional woman who makes the opportunity to live for God's calling. However, I could not conclude this message without talking about the ultimate example of intentional living, and that's Jesus Christ. Everything that he ever did was intentional. Every miracle, every conversation, every stop along the way. Because even as a child, you could hear Jesus. He declared, I must be about my Father's business. Jesus Christ shows us perfect intentionality. For it was prophesied that he would live and die for us. And what moves me so much about this is even understanding what his future would look like, even understanding the path and what he was walking to, he walked intentionally toward the cross so that everyone in this room and everyone outside of this room could be saved. So every step towards Calvary, intentional. Every wound, intentional. Every drop of blood, intentional. That is intentional love, intentional sacrifice, intentional obedience. And because Jesus Christ intentionally gave his life for each and every one of us, should we not intentionally give our life back to him? Yes. So I ask you today, will you be intentional about your faith? Will you be intentional about your Father's business? You might be saying yes, but you're wondering about the next steps. You might be saying yes, but you're wondering, what does this look like? And if you are, I advise you to go back to our scripture reference found in the 46th Psalm. For this psalm is a trust psalm, just like the 23rd Psalm as well, that I'm sure everyone's probably more familiar with. These psalms encourage us to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord as you are saying yes to standing in places you have never stood before. Trust in the Lord as you walk into assignments you never imagined. And trust in the Lord as you live intentionally for his calling. And as you are trusting God and stepping into his calling, I invite you to do what I did in my opening by making this scripture personal. So right here where you are, every man, every woman, every child, I'm going to invite you to make this scripture your own. Now listen carefully, Ebenezer. I know we can get this right on the first time. When I point to you, I want you to say your name. Say it loud. Say it bold. Say it with conviction so that our Lord up high, most high, can hear you, okay? All right. Here we go. God is within. Will not fall. God will help at daybreak. Okay. Did we get the hang of it? We're going to try it one more time. God is within. Will not fall. God will help at break of day. Now, Ebenezer, I don't know about you, but that sounds like music to my ears. And that is what Faith Intentions is all about. Living every day with a confidence that God is with you. So leave here today, not just inspired, but intentional, knowing that God is with you. And because he is with you, you will not fall. Amen.